Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Two questions. Number one,
you only get one.
How bad did you guys miss each other and me? Because I will never do this again.
It's like not having a menage a trois.
I'm never not going to.
You know what I mean? It's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite of
that. It's as difficult as refraining from jerking off for a week. That's how hard it is being away from you guys for that long. Very difficult, and it was boring, yeah. And I got depressed.
Does that mean this episode's going to be short?
Now I'm happy. What people don't know. and, you know, listen, I know you guys got weirded out when I made out with you guys, but it's how I say hi when I miss people. So.
Well, I definitely
who was weirded out?
I definitely would have never agreed to it had I put it together that we kind of ran them all back to back. I kind of knew we were overlapping and stuff, but yeah. I didn't realize it was going to stretch it out for that. It was like 10 days, right?
It was 10 days too long.
It was, yeah.
Well, so I think we should all live together now. That's what I was basically coming up to. Yeah, I think
frat house.
Let's do it. No, here's the other question. What do you guys think of my beard?
Getting a kegger.
Look how long my beard
is. It's getting scraggly now.
It's long.
Yeah. Scraggly.
You don't like it?
No, but
you're almost on the no-fly list.
This is what can I? No. I have a tip, and I really want you to try it.
Oh, do you want me to try your tip?
No,
I don't like where this is going.
Oh my god!
Remember what happened last time, Justin?
He always tries that one on me.
I want to see it growing out because I think you have the look to really make this cool. But let's dye just the beard.
No.
What? Yes.
No.
I was just complimenting him on his frostiness.
Uh-huh. Oh, no. What?
It looks spectacular.
It's a little frosty on the
sides. No. It looks excellent in your head, but then if it came down to this dark beard.
Oh, yeah.
Bro,
you
would look handsome as fuck.
Okay. No, I don't know.
Just wrestler. Please.
But let me ask you this. Is there a line where you become too handsome? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Where it's like,
well, yeah. Why don't you flirt with it a little bit?
I don't know, man.
I flirt with that line all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Adam's like, I'm an expert on that. I've been too handsome for a long time.
And really, all that happens, they call you gay. That happens.
Really?
If you get too handsome, normally they think
you're
gay.
Then you're like, gay. Thanks. Yeah. I've reached it.
Yeah, what,
it someone, happens anywhere.
Yeah, somebody tried,
I got to that point.
Somebody called me a homo the other day. I'm like, is that supposed to be an insult? Like,
I never understood that.
Yeah. You know what that
when
means?
Was the last time you saw an ugly homo?
I'm on the top.
Most gay guys I know are fucking good looking.
I'm buff. I'm pretty sure homo is not a good thing.
It's probably not a good repeated.
Yeah. It makes me. So what'd you guys do on your little vacays? Where'd you guys go? I think we should tell the audience what we did.
Tell them like what we really did.
Yeah.
I went on a bachelor party.
You went on a bachelor party?
That's what was going on.
Hold on a second. I didn't know this.
I was on a bachelor party in San Diego in the gas lamp and PB. Ask me what we were doing within the first 4 hours we were there.
Cocaine.
Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding.
Wrong.
Oh.
Guess again.
Whoa. It's worse?
No.
What'd you do?
Wait. We were in a museum.
What the hell out of here.
And then we were in bed by 10 so we could get up at 5 the next morning to go fishing.
Stop it.
This doesn't sound like a... This sounds horrible.
Yeah, a museum?
The bachelor party is supposed to be your last fun day before you get married.
And
instead they started the marriage
the
early. Like, I'm just going to do some boring shit because I'm getting married.
Yeah. And this is the three-toed beaver.
We would have golfed if it was up to everybody else.
That's not the kind of beaver you want to see.
I really fought on that one.
What museum? What would you see?
Yeah, we were on the Midway on an aircraft carrier.
Sloth.
It was an aircraft carrier.
Oh, well, no disrespect. That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Were there strippers on the
no. They don't have strippers on the Midway.
Not a single stripper?
Not a single. Mm. We didn't see a single stripper.
No birthday cakes where that one chick comes out? Like,
no
yeah.
birthday cakes with a naked chick.
Oh.
No nights past midnight. No belligerent drunk throwing up.
What?
No drugs, no cocaine, nothing illegal.
Well, that's why
you need to stop joking
us.
About that. People start keep thinking.
We went to Petco. We saw a ball game. Funny too. That was probably we drank before we went there. So
I thought you went and got like a kitty or something.
No.
Oh, Petco.
Oh, that's a stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a stadium where they play sports.
The bachelor party got crazy. We got a couple cats.
We got some turtles.
Yeah.
It's fucking happening.
No, we went to, and you know what else we did?
Stretch.
We were we went to the barbecue place. Okay, that was
wait.
They got it was gerbils.
What's the barbecue place?
Listen, let me finish my sentence. You talk. I was talking, and you interrupted this. The barbecue place.
The barbecue place
that is in Top Gun the movie.
What the fuck?
Where they play the piano and the famous scene where
restaurant.
Yeah, the barbecue place.
Oh, okay.
The barbecue place that's in the movie of Top Gun. That can you think of any other barbecue place in that movie?
I thought it was like
a hub.
Of course you thought that because you fucking interrupted me before I finished.
So you guys went there. Was it good?
It was horrible.
The barbecue was the barbecue was horrible?
Horrible. It was two stars on Yelp.
How can you do that?
It was on the way walking to
was
the
it
Midway.
Like rat meat?
Well,
here's the other thing too. This was the best. This was the kicker. So it was already bad food, right? We're joking that we came here. We're like, oh, it's all right. It's you know, it's nostalgic. It's the whole Tom Cruise and the you know Top Gun thing.
Take my breath away.
Then I found out that like 5 years ago, the real one burnt down, and they built this one as the replica.
So it's a complete waste of time. Wow, Justin, what did you do? Stupid. Cheer me up.
Oh
Adam's
God.
Trip sucked.
And I was on the bachelor party. You guys had kids. What the fuck?
I didn't even have a TV, dude. So I don't have a whole lot of like lifting up.
Does that mean you didn't finish Game of Thrones?
No, I mean I did when I. Oh, okay. Yeah, I did. Okay. I'm good. I'm caught up.
Okay.
Yeah. Khaleesi all day.
So you went. You guys went camping?
Yeah. Well, no, it was at a cabin. So it was like this cabin that was like. I almost would have rather camped because the problem was that like where we were wasn't on the lake. I had this like misconception, and my wife did too, that we were going to be like right on the lake, and we were like way back, you know, like inland. And so you had to like drive, like it was really hard to get to the lake, and it was frustrating, but we had a good time though. It was, I mean, I got on and wakeboarded and stuff and
oh shit,
tried some
excellent
some fucking moves and was too much of a pussy to do anything.
Do you have to get
Do you
have to get a special reinforced board for your powerful liftoff?
Yeah,
with your
my
glutes
ass breaks of, a lot of those.
Have you ever wakeboarded before?
Wakeboarded?
Yes.
No.
No. Have you seen one before?
Yeah, I know what that is.
Okay,
but no.
Do you know?
No.
They have them.
I was in Disneyland, but I should preface this before I continue because a lot of people don't know. Actually, our audience doesn't know. You know, I've alluded to the fact that I've been going through some stuff.
Holy shit! Are you gonna put this on the air right
why
now?
Why not?
Are you serious?
Yeah, why not?
Are you gonna tell the world?
That's not a big. I mean, look, it is what it is, right?
Okay.
So for a while now, I've been going through a divorce. And
oh, I thought you were going to talk about your sex change.
No. That's the reason why. Yeah. I now have both a penis and a vagina. I'm my own best friend. I'm going through that. And it's been going on for a while now. It's been going on for about 6 months. Hold on. What month is it? A little longer than that. About 7 months. But we were still very dedicated to our kids. So we took the kids to Disneyland. So I went on a vacation with my ex-wife and my children. And as scary as I thought it would be, it was actually okay. It was cool.
Okay, so now
I thought, I was like, for sure, I'm like, we're going to kill each other.
Dude,
like,
I give you props for that. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're cool. I mean, you know what it is?
It's big of you.
You know what it is?
And her.
We're both very, very, first of all, we're cool. Nothing horrible happens. So I know I'm joking, but it's not like we hate each other or anything. But we're both very, very dedicated to our children. And so that trumps everything. So we were able to go on this trip and enjoy our children and do it for the kids. And so it was cool. I'm glad we were able to do
so
that.
I was totally not ready for you to announce this on the radio. So, but since you
I don't want to do a whole show on it.
Well, no, but I feel I have to ask this now. So does this mean that like the ex-wife jokes, we can do shit like that yet? Or how long do we have to wait till
No, I'll tell you.
It's all timing.
How long's the buffer?
How long until
you can make fun of me all day long. But she's always going to be the mother of my children, so there's no joking. No joking about her whatsoever. Okay. I appreciate just respect.
Okay, please.
But me, you know, you could tell me all day long what kind of how big of an asshole I am.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's the type. I wasn't really meaning like her. I was thinking more like, you know, how does it feel like to get kicked out of the house or, you know, say
that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like it would be totally making fun of you.
Yeah, we
leave her out of it.
Good times. So yeah, that's pretty much it. But it sucked not being around you guys for that long. I mean, all joking aside, I missed getting on the mics.
Yeah,
son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's that therapeutic side that you definitely have said more than once.
It's erotic. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's more therapeutic.
I meant therapeutic.
Yeah, therapeutic. therapeutic is the word for sure.
I'm off the chains.
It can work.
Shh. It's here. No. No, Doug got confused.
Doug's like, no.
Doug got confused. That's the wrong. We forgot to put the cues on.
Okay, they're going to start quad. Hey, you no, are off the hey, chain. We're not starting quad. No, it's not the quad.
No, you let's so do a quad now.
Dude, we can't. We don't have anything.
Why don't we do it? We did
oh
not
my God.
Pull up your thing. Can we talk to her? We talked to her. The best part was nobody fucking even knew that.
Whoa.
You know, we started the episode and
we
nobody
didn't even know where we're going.
Nobody even paid attention that
we were so excited to see each other. Yeah, we didn't plan at all. Like,
pull it up, Sal. Just pull up some Q&A.
I'll pull up some Q&A.
It's been so long since we talked. We can just pick.
Or Doug, why don't you pull them up like you normally do
and read them to
and
us
and just start reading them
yeah
to
fuck
us.
Them
if and we want it. So here's normally what we do. Doug will pick a few questions, put them up on the board.
Wow.
And then he'll read them off to us and we answer them.
This is dangerous.
We forgot to do that. So Doug is now going to pick random questions.
I will do that. And I also wanted to mention that our episode is sponsored by Chimera Coffee.
This is the first one.
This is our first episode. From now until the foreseeable future, our Q&As will be sponsored by Chimera Coffee. That's the only coffee I know of that is infused with nootropics. You go to chimeracoffee.com and enter Mind Pump, the promo code Mind Pump for 10%.
Chimera Coffee is spelled with two K's.
With a K, Chimera
and Coffee. Let's just say this is the Chimera Qua.
Yeah.
Chimera Qua.
This is the Chimera Qua.
Chimera Qua.
The official one.
You forgot to say your thing.
It's the motherfucking Qua.
There you go.
And I bet Chimera is really excited that their first sponsorship is going to be one of us being totally disorganized.
Yeah.
And by the way,
they like how we roll.
By the way, you go to chimeracoffee.com and you get 10% off if you put Mind Pump in as a promo code.
That's right. I said that.
Oh, you already did. Okay. Yeah. What? You see, you threw
he
me off so much
right
here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to go through these questions here.
I love how disorganized we are right now that we were so excited to get together that we started an episode that was our Q&A with no questions. The best part was when I cued the fucking bird to come and I looked at the board
and there's nothing.
And there was
that was on your body language right there, huh?
Yeah.
You just stopped and you get
oh, I totally did, because I was like, oh, shit, I just summoned the bird, and I'm looking over on a whiteboard with no fucking questions to get to answer.
We're crazy.
So, Doug, what about the third question down? How's that one sound?
Just do it.
Yeah, go for
let's
it.
Let's just do it. When do we ever just, even if it's bad, let's just answer them.
All right, let's go.
Let's just answer them until we're tired of answering them.
All right.
And you know what? If we don't like it, we'll say pass.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
Perfect answer.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Is this Kier C? Is this the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Pass. I don't even like that one.
No.
We're going to take what we can get here.
Kidding.
Okay?
Just kidding. Read
what
it.
Does it mean when someone is holding on to too much fat in certain stubborn areas, but losing evenly everywhere else?
Oh, okay.
I.e., love handles.
So this is a great question. And
can
by the way,
spot reduce?
I literally just saw this question, but I like this question because it's common. There's a lot. I can't tell you how many times I'll train a client and they'll ask me how they can burn body fat from a particular area, or they have a trouble area and how do I get leaner in that area. The science, the consensus of the science behind spot reduction is pretty solid, that your body burns body fat in a pattern that you're genetically predisposed to burn it from. In other words, it's up to your genes where you lose body fat from first and where you lose body fat from last. But it's a good rule of thumb to understand that the first place you put it on, so when you gain body fat, the very first place it goes is usually the last place it goes.
It leaves, yeah.
So if you're prone to storing body fat on your midsection, and that's the first place you get it, that's probably the last place that's going to get ripped as you get lean. You know,
what's your thoughts on
which
too?
Is my issue.
What's your thoughts on too? Every time that you regain the body fat back on this, the fat cells actually growing and it becoming harder for you to lose the next time. So there's.
The science behind that says that there may be some metabolic damage that may happen, but it really doesn't happen unless you lose a lot, gain a lot, lose a lot, gain a lot. Like if you lose 10, 15.
Which is why I wanted to address that, because I think that's actually really common. I think a lot of people yo-yo diet and don't realize that every time they do that, they don't understand.
It's compounding.
Yes, it's compounding, and it's making it more and more challenging to get those stubborn areas.
It's tough to say because, A, you could cause metabolic damage, right? Because the body adapts its metabolism downward if you lose weight improperly. In other words, if you're exercising a shit ton, just trying to burn a shit ton of calories, and you're consuming almost no calories or too low a calories.
You're just starving everything.
Yeah, your metabolism will slow down to compensate. And then when you gain the weight back, now you're at the weight you were before, except you have a slower metabolism now. And so now it's going to be more difficult to lose that weight. So I think it's metabolic damage. There's probably a psychological component too. I mean, imagine losing 30 pounds and gaining it back and losing it and gaining it back. By the third time, you may be, you know, kind of done losing, you know, trying to lose that weight again. You know what I mean? There's that psychological component as well. Right. But I do want to add this too, which is interesting. Have you guys ever had clients who've had liposuction?
Yeah.
You ever notice what happens when they gain weight?
Oh, it looks awful.
Yeah, it's a little patchy.
It's weird, right?
Yeah. It's just like the same thing goes for people that have the tummy tucks. Like, well, your body was, it just like Sal said, it genetically, it loses weight the way it intended to, right? So it's going to come off, you know, from your
face.
In a
particular pattern. Yeah,
exactly. In a very natural, normal looking pattern.
Right.
And when, you know, I would always rather have, you know, looking at the female body, I would way rather have a girl who is 30 pounds overweight and just overweight than someone who's 20 pounds overweight who had already done like
chunky cottage cheese.
Yes, it did like a tummy tuck, or did lipo somewhere, because then when it comes back, it doesn't come back evenly because you sucked out a specific area, like a whole bunch in one area.
Yeah, your body doesn't lose its ability to store body fat when you have lipo. You've just removed fat cells from a particular area. So when you gain it back, it goes into different areas and then it doesn't look. It doesn't look as natural. I had a client once who she came in. I went to test her body fat, and she was relatively overweight. And her biceps, the front of her arms, were fatter than the back of her arms, which is weird because we store more body fat in the back of the arm, especially women. And now imagine looking at a woman who is a little heavy, but the bicep is fatter than the tricep instead of the other way around. Yeah. You know,
it looked strange.
It looked weird, right? So she came in. I looked at her arm like, this doesn't look right. I go to test her body fat with calipers, and sure enough, the back was a lower measurement. And so right then and there, I asked her, I said, did you have liposuction in the back of your arms? And she's like, yes. How did you know? I'm like, well, it's the pattern of the way you store body fat. I can tell because it's not natural. Like, nobody has... It's very rare to see a fatter bicep than a tricep.
Exactly. It's those two measurements are almost always the same within a couple millimeters.
Yeah, and women will store, if they gain weight, women will almost always store more in the back of the arm than the front of the arm. So I think, moral of the story is if you're not happy with the pattern that your body is burning body fat, there's not much you can do but just continue to get leaner, you know? Yeah, right. Just keep trying to get leaner and
just
eventually...
Work on the overall.
Yeah, exactly. And eventually you're going to burn body fat from where you want.
I want to elaborate a little bit on that because this is something I've had to coach people through that have this challenge. And I think the competing side helped me with being able to help people with answering this. There becomes a point where, I'll be helping somebody lean down and they get to a point where they're like, this is as lean as I want. I don't want to be any leaner. I don't want to feel skinny. I feel skinny already, but I have these areas like in my tummy or in my back that they're holding this fat. You know, what do I do? And I think this might be what she's kind
of
thinking.
Of course.
And what Sal is saying is correct. So there has to come to this point where you're probably going to get leaner than the body weight you want to carry yourself out for forever. So in other words, I would push that client to let's get even leaner. Okay, we're going to go leaner, even though you're already, you feel skinny and it's not, you don't want to be, but you still have body fat in areas on your body you're not happy with. We want to keep getting lean. And at first, you may not like where you are when you get all the way down lean, but then once that all comes off, now here's the key. We lean all the way out. You're skinnier than where you'd want to be, but you've dropped the body fat in all the areas that you wanted to drop body fat. You feel super, super lean, almost too lean. So then when we started to increase your calories and come the other direction, here's the beauty is, you know, as long as you're training, you're following a MAPS program, you're training correctly and lifting correctly while you're adding good calories, those calories are going to get partitioned into building good lean mass on your body.
That's just going to make your metabolism
faster.
And this
is really the part of, you know, competing and the aesthetic side that I really enjoy. Like, I love this part of getting super shredded to a point where I don't like how lean I am. When I get ready for a show, I do not like the way I look.
Super lean.
Yeah. I look unhealthy. It's a weight that I couldn't manage year round. I look all sucked up. I don't fill my clothes out. But the neat part is I get rid of all the body fat. practically almost every bit of body fat I have in my body, but about 2% of it is gone. And then I can look and I can assess my physique and say, okay, what are the areas I really want to develop? And then I start to increase those calories. Now I get to enjoy eating again. And now I can start, you know, okay, building these areas up to work on the aesthetic. And right. I really, really love doing that, enjoying that. But you kind of have to push that body to a probably leaner than you ever been, and it will, it'll come. That, trust me, if you keep pushing to get leaner and leaner, that body fat will, it will go.
Well, the way we store body fat too, the pattern is there's an evolutionary purpose. I mean, have you guys ever seen a guy that stores body fat like a girl, where it's all in his lower body? Hips. Yeah, like hips and thighs, and
no,
it looks
funny.
It's rare, but you see it every once in a great while.
No.
It's very strange. Or there's women you'll see who will store; they'll just have very, very skinny legs and arms and have a really big midsection, and it looks odd because it's not common. Because the evolutionary advantage was for women to store it differently, and this is the theory. The theory is that women store body fat in the lower half of their body because it gives them a lower center of gravity, so that when they carry, when they're pregnant. They don't become super top heavy. Okay, men store around the midsection because we needed our limbs to be free to move so we can continue to run and hunt and do that kind of shit. So there's definitely a reason why we store body fat the way we do. So I just wanted to add that last
and
part.
You can rest a beer on it.
White Fit has a question about progressive overload. He's talking about increasing volume over time, but what happens when the volume gets so high that you're no longer seeing any gains?
Well, that's the deloading phase, or what people talk about.
This is a very, very good question. So this is one of the reasons why if you enroll in one of our MAPS programs, what you'll see, there's a common theme. There's a few common themes in there because there are some general truths when it comes to how the body responds to exercise. And one of the things you'll notice is that each MAPS program, although they're different in terms of their goal, like one might be aesthetic, you know, based, one might be the foundational program, one might be performance based, and so on, you'll see that they're phased. And what that means is, rather than a constant linear progression where I'm constantly adding volume, constantly adding exercises, I'm phasing and changing the types of adaptation that I'm going after. So there is there's always going to be that limiting factor, right? You can't keep adding volume to your workouts. Eventually,
you fit you on a time.
More isn't always better.
It's
this is like holds true with the human body. Like it just doesn't respond to just always like getting into an increase in intensity, an increase in volume, increase in exercises, repetitions. You really have to, you know, scale it back and then introduce something that is different in order to gain a different type of adaptation.
That was a key word there. You said scale it back. And so I think a lot of times people get confused and they think, oh, that just means
less, right?
Less. No, what Justin said, the key word was different.
New adaptation.
New. So let's say you've been training and building up your volume, and you've been training in the 8 to 12 rep range, and you've been doing 3 sets, you know, maybe 1 or 2 exercises per body part or whatever, rather than and you start to ramp that up, and now you're seeing your body's not responding, and you don't want to add more volume because more volume your body won't be able to recover from, or just don't have the time. Then you can easily switch to a strength phase where you go and you start to train in the 1 to 4 rep range, and you, instead of doing 3 sets per exercises, you're doing 5 or 6 sets per exercise, but you're doing less exercises. So you can mix these things up and change the forms of adaptation that you're chasing, and what you end up getting is, you know, perpetual progress, or you see yourself progress in different ways, but ultimately they all converge together,
yeah,
and improve your overall goal, which is, you know, more strength, more muscularity, all those different things. So it's all about phasing, really.
Well, it allows for proper recovery while you're improving in other facets of human performance, and it's really important for you to really look at the body as a holistic entity, and for you to just focus on even lifting more weights constantly is the wrong mentality. And so this is something that is a hard concept, but it's very important that, you know, people understand this concept, because it is what MAPS is all about.
And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that because they think they're going to lose their gains. This is the problem.
Yes.
Everybody's afraid that, if I change my adaptation, if I change the goal, I'm going to lose gains. Now, we right here in this room, we have a fantastic example of what really happens when you change gears, and that's Adam. Adam trained very hypertrophy-based for a very, very long time, did some strength training as well, but didn't for years, right? You didn't do mobility or specifically for mobility or function. And then you did when you went through mass performance. Well, and what happened?
That's what I was going to say that I think is why I speak out on this so much, because I know that a ton of people can relate to me. I know I have a ton of peers that are like this, that they love the program they're on. And this is what happens to people, right? They're training a certain way. They get introduced to a program. And it doesn't matter whether it be some famous Instagram person who gave it to them or whatever. But it's a new adaptation for them. Mm-hmm. They don't know that. They just know it's a new program from somebody else.
Right.
But yet we know that it's a total different new adaptation that they're. And then they see the best results they've ever seen.
They're getting great response. It's the best, most phenomenal thing ever.
Ever, yeah. Right? And you couldn't debate that to them. There's no way I'm going to tell that person, you know, so-and-so's program is okay or weak, because for them, they saw the best results off of that. Well, the real reason why you saw the best results was because it was a new adaptation, right? And your body, like Justin was saying earlier, you know, you gave it a new focus. And so you saw these great. Now, the problem is it's so hard to pull people out of that because of that. And I know it's hard for other people because I know it's hard for me, and I fucking know the science.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I know the science. I understand it. I know better.
But still hard.
But it's still hard for me to break away from that.
You're comfortable.
You are. You're comfortable. You saw great results that way. You love training that way. You love the pump, whatever it is. Or, you know, that's, we're comparing me, but it could go for somebody who's into hardcore training. I deal with this a lot. You know, the super intense, mm-hmm. you know, circuit type training, and you telling that person to get out of that and train slower. And,
oh, I'm going to get fat. I can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't, the body, it's, you are only going to, if you continue your working out, right? If you don't take like months off of working out and you literally are continuing to train the body and you're just changing the adaptations, you're going to do nothing but continue to get better and better and better.
And there's little, here's the thing, like I'm going to use you as an example, Adam, if you don't mind. Adam's been training for a long time. He's also not a young chicken anymore, right? He's in his mid-30s now. You supposedly
like an old crow.
Somewhat past his prime, but nonetheless, here he is. He's worked out for a long time. He's squatting X amount. I think it was 405 was his max. He goes through, focuses his adaptation on mobility, does mass performance, which is very non-bodybuilder, right? It's very athlete focus. It's very much focused on functionality and mobility. And now the dude squats more than that, and he does it lower.
Super low, and like I just remember all these constant nagging, like aches and tendonitis sorts of issues that you were experiencing before. And I was always like, oh man, you know, come over here. But you know, like just like it's for me to go over and do like hypertrophy and get it back into that mentality again was really tough. So it very much varies on what your comfort is right now. And are you willing to, you know, step out of that and then work on another facet of fitness?
It breaks my heart that we don't have more. Green is the least sold program of all of our programs.
Oh, mass performance. Yeah.
Yeah. All the rest of the program, I mean, and it's sold a lot, but it has not
sold.
Well,
what's funny is it gets a lot of comments from people once they get it.
That's why, you know, we see an increase in it. But because I know how much it helped me, I know that out of all the programs we have, it's probably someone would see the most difference for that than compared to anything else if you've been like a normal gym goer. If you're a normal gym goer and you're following your basic routines out of a magazine.
It's like 90% of our audience, you know, I'm just going to guess, but I can kind of get that vibe that like a lot of people are just going to the gym and they're doing their workout. And, you know, what that looks like is definitely not, you know, what a performance is really showing you.
And it takes a lot. It took me a lot of mental discipline. Now, like, and I know Sal's complimented me on this before because I am somebody who likes to try different things, and I love to challenge my body and challenge myself with things that I'm uncomfortable with doing. So, you know, I was very uncomfortable doing it. I have terrible mobility, and my form sucked on a lot of movements. And let me tell you, that's a stinger for a trainer. I'm a trainer. I pride myself on, you know, having excellent form. You look, I hope that when someone walks in, sees me working out, they're like, oh man, that guy's got some phenomenal form. Well, that's what I do for a living. So I expect to be like kind of a biomechanic specialist. And so when I go and do exercise, I don't like doing exercises that I suck at. Man, I sucked at a majority of those movements, but the improvement that I made over the entire process, over the 9 weeks, what is it, 9 weeks, right?
Oh, it's very noticeable.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
significant.
I could not squat much deeper than 90 degrees, And even when I did squat 90 degrees, I had to have a really wide stance to feel comfortable. And then after I would squat any more than about 8 reps, my low back would still be on fire. My knees would ache and bother me a little bit. My hips would bother me the next day. My IT was always on fire. So I was always battling issues like that. And man, I was squatting yesterday with a stance, with a narrow stance that would have been not even a foot apart.
Explain to people as you're going through this though, you were getting to a point just strength training where, like Sal mentioned, like 405 squat, like you're getting up there, ramping up, but you're experiencing all these aches and pains. And now you're going through green. You know, there's a few things that stick out, like between like what you're doing and how different it is. Like, what happened to some of those staple lifts that you noticed in the very beginning?
Oh, right at the beginning when I first had to, when I had to go from, you know, lifting red or black and then heading over to green, you know, there was this, I had to drop my weight. You know, I had to lower the weight if I was going to work on mobility and range of motion.
Right.
So there was this ego check at first. And then I battled that fear of, oh shit, you know, am I going to lose my gains? Yeah. Am I not going to be able to hit 405 again? Am I going to be back in now 300 something, working my way back over there again? And so I really freaked out about that. But I checked my ego at the door and said, you know what, I'm going to go all the way through this, and I'm not going to worry about that. That's not my adaptation I'm focusing on right now. It isn't PRs and gains right now. I'm looking for mobility.
You're treating it a lot more like a skill.
Yes.
Something that you want to improve.
Yes. And that was exactly how I treated the squat, the deadlift. I started attacking it like that, not giving two shits about how much weight I was moving, but how I was moving the weight.
Right. And so, I mean, really to take it back to the question, you know, Adam's talking about checking his ego. When it comes to trying to get your body to continue to progress, it's not always about harder, longer, or more. It's about smarter. And that requires that you check your ego. It requires that you're okay with doing less or doing things that are different. And that's how you get your body to continuously progress. And don't forget this either. Volume, intensity, frequency, you know, of training.
All valid.
They're all valid, and they're all, and many times, inversely related. You know, I can take my workout and increase the frequency of my body part training, but I have to decrease the intensity a little bit. And the volume is a factor as well. So these are all things you can play with in your training. These are things that we take into account when we program the programs that we sell. But these are all things you can manipulate to change your routine to get your body to continue progressing. And it's not adding more.
That girl, Ashley K.
Oh, that girl.
Yeah, that one.
I know that one.
What do you suggest about restarting a program? In her case, she was doing MAPS Black, had to take a couple weeks off, and she's wondering if she should pick up where she left off or start from the beginning. And we get this question a lot, actually, on the forum.
So
I think
this is a good question. This applies to anybody who's listening who is doing either our MAPS program or not, or you're doing your own program. There is a preferred sequence and order that you should go in when you're doing your program. And to give you just an easy example, if I'm trained for a year straight consistently and I get to a certain level and I'm doing really good and I take 3 weeks off, I'm going to lose some of my performance. Now, if I jump right into where I left off, that's what my body was able to handle and do and what it required to
no reason to do that.
No, if I jump right into it, and if it's a week off or 2 weeks off, I might just notice that I get really sore. Like I've done that before. I take a week off and go back and I just get really fucking sore. But if it's like a month or 2 months, you can injure yourself. Yeah. And here's the thing, like you could be doing too much. And what I mean by too much is not just that you're wasting time in the gym, but that you won't progress. You can actually trip, you know, you could actually step over the line from doing the right things to doing
plateau sooner.
And plateau sooner. So if you're following our programs and you stop for a couple weeks,
start back at red.
Start at the beginning. Start at the very beginning again. And if you're following your own program, I would say do the same thing.
She said on there she was doing black. Is that what you said?
I'd start back in phase one.
If phase one of red.
Or even red, right.
Yeah, yeah. I would go all the way back. That's depends on the length of time. Like Sal said, if you came off, you fell off for a week or two, maybe 3 weeks tops, I'd probably push it if I'd say go ahead and start back to phase one of black. But if you've been off for a month, 2 months, or longer, I'd say go all the way back to red.
Right.
Go all the way back to phase one of red and then progress all the way through, because there is a, you know, black has quite a bit more volume than either one of red or green. So if you've been off for a month or more, your body you've definitely atrophied a bit, and you've lost your performance and your gains. So some of your gains, not all of them, of course. Then I would say for sure start by. And the main reason is because you want to work your way up to black. That's the idea. This is to progress up to that volume, and you want to get as much bang for your buck before you get to that, you know. So by you jumping right back into black, yeah, you might get sore for a little bit. Yeah, your body will figure it out. You'll jump back into being able to get through it. But then you also are going to force the body to adapt to that amount of volume faster, and you'll see less results if you would have started from red, progressed through green, then back over to black and worked your way all the
way. Think of it this way. Like when you're, when you look at music, music is made up of notes. And music only happens if the notes are played in a particular sequence. When you're doing a program for your body...
Otherwise it sounds like Adam.
That's what she tries to sing. You can't even do it as bad as he does when you try. Damn it. It's horrible. When you're doing an exercise program, there is a particular sequence, and following that sequence is going to give you far better results. And the sequence has everything to do... It's from just your... You know, what you're doing in your workouts, to how many sets you're doing, to the type of frequency and intensity. But this even applies to the sequence of exercises within a workout. I mean, not to go too off topic, but if I'm doing a workout and I'm starting with biceps and triceps, and then I'm moving to shoulders, and then I'm moving to, to squats and then to deadlifts, like that sequence sucks. That sequence, although I'm doing the same exercises, but because I'm doing them out of order, I'm not going to get nearly the same effect. And the same holds true for your workouts. So when you take, or for the, what you do during the week. So if you stop for, a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, go ahead and start back over at the beginning of your workout where you started when you first started, where you kind of went into it, went easy. You're not going to slow your progress down. You're going to actually speed your progress up. Okay, so that's what you got to consider. It's not hurting you to start over. It's actually going to help you to start over.
Good point.
So,
I kind of like this with Doug just firing random ones.
I have no idea what he's about to say.
I like that.
Russian roulette.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky, actually.
Doug does not like this.
I don't like it because I'm reading through the question. I go, oh, is this a good one or not? East Coast Kenny, would you rather eat healthy and never work out or work out and never eat healthy?
Wow.
Wow.
I know Justin's answer.
So, that's fucked up.
Hey, fuck you, man.
What he does.
You're right.
I'll be eating cake and doing
this. I swear to God, I knew you were going to say cake.
All day.
Okay, what I'd prefer to do, if it was just like something that, I'm just going to pick one, I'd rather work out because eating bad is delicious a lot of times. But if I were looking at my health... If I were looking at my health and longevity, and either one of these weren't extreme. So what I mean by that is like if I work out but ate horrible versus eating perfectly and having no activity, those are hard to compare because they both suck. But let's just say I did average amount of activity and ate perfect or very well, or I exercised and I ate like the average American. You're going to do better off with the diet. Diet will affect you. If you're just a normal amount of activity, diet is where you're going to get the most in terms of your health.
100%. Yeah. God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like, you can't...
You eat shitty and work out. You're not going to get a lot out of your... No. You're working out. You know what I mean?
No.
Health-wise, definitely not.
No.
I'm sure it's more fun.
Well, especially when you're talking about all the insights. All the inside stuff that's going on, right? Yeah, like, aesthetically, I think you can manage it okay, but what's going on? If you're just all over the... Eating, like, the average American diet, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
The person that's working out is probably slowing the process down a little bit than the person who's not working out and doing all that, but it's still inevitable for that person, too, you know?
Well, you see them all at Planet Fitness, so there you go.
Oh. they give out pizza there.
Yeah. Stinger.
Well, if you look at... populations that live the longest, it's not that they work out, it's that they're just active. They're just active on a regular basis in terms of walking, and maybe they go up the hill to fetch water, or to, maybe they go fishing, but it's just regular activity. But what they have in common is they eat very healthy, lots of whole natural organic foods. They don't overeat foods that are high in nutrient dense, low in calorie. That's what you find with these populations that live a long time. Really, when it comes to working out, especially when it comes to performance, you're working out because you want to perform better. Like, I work out, I like the longevity aspect of it, but could I get lots of longevity if I didn't lift this heavy? Definitely. Yeah. Why do I lift heavy? It's fun.
Well, it reminds me of the comparison of, like, would you rather, like, just do cardio or, you know, weight train? And yeah, it's just like, one is superior, yeah, but, like, both combined, like, in the right way is obviously the best.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say... You got to pick eating. You have to. But yeah, God, that would suck
first,
to not work
man,
out.
Man, I would be bored out of my gourd. It's,
especially because when I was a kid, I ate shitty and worked out.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't gain an ounce of body fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And a matter of fact, I think I ate crappy.
Brief moment.
I ate crappy on purpose.
But you set yourself up for the tummy issues.
Yeah.
Right? I set myself up for acid reflux.
I guarantee it. I know, Adam, you probably did the same thing where you worked out and ate crappy to try and gain weight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It messed me up.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty much fucked up forever for that. Mm. Moving along now.
What else, Douglas?
Last question.
Why is it the last one?
I don't know.
Fuck you. I'm not
it is
talking.
The last one.
It is the last
it
one.
It is. See? Yeah.
Wants to go home.
I was feeling it too.
It's Avery.
Whoa.
It's Avery. Is occlusion phrasing.
It's Avery.
Can
we all just take a second here?
Stop it.
Take a breather. We flustered the shit out of Doug.
Yeah.
So bad this entire episode.
I'm really excited for this episode because I thought it was hilarious that we fuck. Can we just talk about that for a minute?
It's
that
we actually
for as long as we've been doing Q&As, we started a Q&A.
We've never messed one up.
With no questions
on
the board.
What?
Like, what in the hell?
Definitely marijuana has side effects.
Only this show could you pull that off still. Fuck it. We're fine. It's not like we're that much more prepared.
Oh, like Jesus, we're going to scrap this?
Yeah.
No.
We've never scrapped an episode.
Anything.
All right, Doug. We apologize again. Yeah. Continue.
It's Tavery.
Oh, it's Tavery.
It's Tavery. Is occlusion training used strictly for hypertrophy training, or are there benefits on using it for potential strength gains?
Hmm.
Great question.
That is good.
So for those of you that are unfamiliar with occlusion training, here's the gist of it. You occlude, or you partially occlude, what's called venous outflow of a muscle. Fluid and waste byproducts build up in it in that muscle because it doesn't come out as quickly when you're exercising, and that has been shown in many, many studies to stimulate more muscle growth. In layman's terms, you, for lack of a better way of saying this, you tie off a muscle group. So like if I'm working on my arms, I use knee wraps, right, and I tie off the top of my arms.
Restricting the blood flow.
And I'm restricting the blood flow, but I'm not restricting the blood flowing into
completely.
My muscle. Yeah, it's blood going out. So I'm not like tying off my arm where it's like purple.
Right. You're still allowing it.
And then I do exercises. I do sets of stuff. And the lactic acid, the burn that you get when you work out, all those different things that you feel, it just fucking builds up.
It intensifies.
It builds up. The pump that you get is you can multiply it times 10. I've never had a pump. Matter of fact, occlusion training ruined pumps for me, and I'll tell you why. When I get a regular pump now, it feels great.
Doesn't compare.
But it's not. An occlusion pump is like, it's borderline distorted. Like, my arms look silly.
Okay. If you look Should at my doing this to my
you
dick.
Look at the pictures on my Instagram, every single one of them was done post-occlusion.
pretty much.
But statistically...
Sal, you look so much bigger
somebody
on Instagram.
Somebody asked about the angles and lighting and all that. Now I know one more secret.
Yeah, that's it.
I see.
I don't use Photoshop. But I use filters, lighting, and pump. But if you're, but when you do the occlusion, studies show that it builds more muscle. Now, does that contribute to strength? Yes, of course it does. Hypertrophy will make you stronger. A larger muscle fiber contracts harder than a smaller muscle fiber. And studies show this as well. Studies show that people build more muscle and more strength when they include occlusion. I will say this, one caveat here. If you do occlusion wrong, it's actually theoretically can be dangerous.
Yeah.
So make sure you learn how to do it right. We actually offer a very inexpensive but very descriptive and simple occlusion guide at mindpumpmedia.com where we break it down. Actually, Adam is the model in the picture, and I'm tying him off.
Fantastic. You know, you're tying me. You know, I actually was going to do a post on this, so it's kind of random that on occlusion.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason why I was going to post it, I was occluding my legs this week.
The quads?
Yeah.
God, that sucks.
And I never really do that.
People don't know how painful that
is. No,
shit.
It's horrible. It's crazy bad. And here's why. And I got asked recently, how to use occlusion. And whenever anybody asks me how we use like a tool or a modality of fitness that we use, it's really hard for me to answer because I'm sure you guys are the same way too. Like, I don't think any of us have like this formulaic way of like, we always do it this way, right, or, you know, it's real systematic. You know,
throw it in.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And for different reasons. So this week I had a really good reason why I felt that to share with people how I would have used occlusion. So I only occlude my calves is primarily what I use occlusion for, just because my calves suck. And so it's also a way for me to train them. So let's say I just did calves the other day, really heavy and hard, and they're pretty sore. Occlusion training allows me to give them that sarcoplasmic that pump without putting all the stress of the weight on my body. Mm-hmm. And so this is what happened.
Well, how it was invented. It was invented for rehab, yes, for people who have injuries and they can't lift heavy.
Yep.
They don't want their muscles to shrink, and they found that occluding them while doing these light exercises built muscle like they went heavy.
Exactly. So right now I typically squat 3 times a week, and different types of squatting, front squatting, you know, box squats, back squats, low bar, high bar. Reverse cowgirl. I manipulate all of them, but I'm squatting 3 times a week consistently. And I've been doing that for quite some time now. Now, this last week I talked about I went on a bachelor party. Well, I went on this bachelor party, and we thought playing football on the beach was a good idea. And it's funny, I go and I do a dynamic warp and I stretch before I lift weights, but then I go on a beach and then I fucking sprint and run routes with no stretching. So if you can imagine, I totally strained like every muscle in my lower half, and my hips felt awful. My hip flexors felt terrible. Like my hamstring
Style wants to massage it out.
Felt terrible, right? So
I did.
So much to the point where it's completely hindered my workout for like the next 5 days. And I was really frustrated with that because I was in a nice rhythm of lifting right now. And so instead of completely just taking it off and not lifting at all, I occluded my quads. So that allowed me still
to do it with squats?
No, I leg pressed.
Leg press.
Yeah, I leg pressed on one day, and then I used a hack squat another day. I actually don't bar.
Dude, that's
pretty crazy.
So
I think, for you to do that.
I rarely ever occlude my upper legs because they just grow really easily on their own. But there was that one. Do you remember? I did it like 6 months ago where I occluded every week.
Yeah.
And then I posted it before and after. Fucking dramatic. Now, I mean, my legs respond anyway, so any kind of extra work's gonna make them grow. But I'd never done anything like that. I've never seen anything like that happen to my upper legs.
Yeah, and then explode.
I occlude. See, I use it differently than you, Adam. I actually occlude on a relatively regular basis. The way I use occlusion is after maybe 2 or 3 of my workouts of the week, I do a set of occlusion for my arms. And then every calf workout I do, at the end of my calf workout, I do occlusion. And that's because my calves don't fucking grow. And occlusion has been the only thing that I've noticed some growth, you know, from them. Mm. So I actually use it more regularly. But I will say this, you can overdo it. I don't know if you have you experimented and overtrained with it?
This is why I don't now, because before I was so excited about it, how they responded, that I started doing it so much that it started to take the place of like my strength training. So when it started to do that, that's when I started to see the adverse effects of it, because it was starting to, and it doesn't trump that. It doesn't trump lifting heavy weight. You know,
it's not a trigger session.
Exactly. You know, occluding your quads and doing leg press is never going to take the place of a heavy, you know, barbell squat.
Yeah.
Never, you know, but it's a great tool to in your arsenal for times like there was no way that I was going to go heavy barbell squatting the way I felt. I mean, I was like afraid of how if I were to squat down that I could pull something. I felt that iffy about it. But I felt totally comfortable with occluding my legs and putting 135 pounds on a leg press.
Yeah, it's interesting for me to hear you guys talk about it because it's very similar to how I use isometric training, you know, the way that I experimented as a tool. The very same way where I'm constantly like going through periods of using it to intensify my response and feel that in my performance lifts especially. And it acts on this very similar fashion to getting hypertrophy gains with BFR training.
Well, what happens, here's some of the theories in terms of occlusion. So when you're occluding a muscle, waste builds up in the muscle faster. It doesn't escape, causes lots of pain. The muscle fibers may be a little bit restricted of oxygen. And so you create damage to the muscle like you would with heavy weight. Now, some people may ask, why not just do more sets with heavy weight? Here's why. Heavy weight and intensity with heavy weight stresses the central nervous system a lot more than occlusion training does. Occlusion training will train the muscle and spare the central nervous system. This is a valuable piece of knowledge and tool because when you're doing a heavy workout and a hard workout, at the end of it, your central nervous system many times is a limiting factor. Like, I can't just keep maxing out even though my muscles may be able to handle it because my CNS, you know, won't be able to handle it. So adding occlusion at the end spares the central nervous system but gives me a little bit extra of that muscle damage. It can also be overdone. I've done that where I've done it every single day and overdid it. But when I do it about once or twice a week on, like I said, arms and on calves, I do it about, you know, 3 days a week. The results have been spectacular, and I can still have my heavy workouts, you know, beforehand. So like many tools, if you use it properly, it's only going to amplify your current workout. But I'll say for me, in terms of a new technique that has shown me results that's very different, it's been a long time since I've run into anything that actually did a big difference in terms of muscle size. And occlusion is that. Like, I've added, you know, I've done all kinds of different techniques to training, and you might notice a little bit here or there. It was, with occlusion, it was pretty visible within the first, I'd say within the first week or two. Like, I could tell that I got bigger from using it. So it's a pretty effective tool. Just, you got to do it right. I see people try it. I've seen people try it in the gym. They're not doing it right. They're either going too hard, tying it off too hard, or they're not leaving it on long enough or whatever. So you got to do it right. If you do it right, very effective. I highly suggest you check out our guide at Mind Pump Media, because we break it down so that you don't do it wrong and hurt yourself, or, you know, at least
put it on the wrong place.
Exactly. So with that said, please leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If you leave a good one, you may win a free t-shirt. Also, check out our testimonials and our programs at mindpumpmedia.com. And you can also check us out on Instagram at mindpumpradio. I'm at mindpumpsal. Adam is at mindpumpadam. And Justin is at mindpumpjustin.
Motherfucking Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.